Okay, remember Revelation is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's revealing the side of Jesus that most Americans don't know. It's revealing that God is the judge of the universe. It's revealing the, shall we say, the hatred side of Jesus Christ, where Calvary reveals his love side. And when somebody rejects what's offered at Calvary, then they're going to see the other side of the coin, and that's Revelation. And all the catastrophes, the natural catastrophes and the demonic stuff that's going on in Revelation is ordered and authorized by Jesus Christ to have this happen. In chapter 6, you have six seal judgments. One of those judgments, one-fourth of the world population is going to die. So one out of four is going to be dead from one judgment. And that's only one. It's not talking about the other ones. It's just one judgment. One-fourth of the world population will die. The people at the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs and the New World Order will think that the kingdom is coming because, you know, that's their goal. You've heard the New World Order. It's the back of your Federal Reserve note. They've announced the birth of the New World Order. And, you know, they have broadcast that they need to get rid of the majority of people on earth. They just need to get rid of them. Okay, the United Nations talks about population control. But down in Georgia, if you type in your search engine, type in Georgia Guidestones. And they tell you right on there that they want to get rid of 50% of the world population. Several years ago, Ted Turner said that we need to get rid of 90% of the world population. Of course, he would probably be in the 10%. I don't think he'd want to be in the 90%. And that's these people's agenda. Okay, this is not something hidden. These are generally secret groups where they have secret meetings, but sometimes they're often infiltrated, like the Bilderbergs often get infiltrated by patriot types. Okay, but this is not a hidden agenda. Okay, this is, and of course they're doing it now in a more subtle fashion through the major corporations in the food industry and the drug industry and chemtrails and all that stuff. You know, if people just know, do you know the third leading cause of death right now is the United States? Third leading cause of death is from medications from doctors. It's the third leading cause of death. Where doctors make a mistake, somebody gets a medication, they die. Okay, and so these people, this is not something that I've dreamed up. This is information that can easily be found, okay, in words that people say, and they mean what they say. Okay, Revelation 6 has the six seal judgments. Revelation 7, like a parenthesis. Chapter 8 starts the seventh seal judgment, and it has inside of it seven trumpet judgments. So if you total all them up, you got 13. We've gone through up to 5, and we're going to start number 6 at verse 12 of chapter 9. The seventh judgment is in chapter 11, verse 15, 14 to 19. So he spaces them out here. Chapter 11 is probably the most important chapter, chapter 11. You get that one down pat, and it kind of puts everything in order. A very important chapter there. Okay, so chapter 9, verse 12 is where we're at. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Okay, the last three trumpet judgments are also called woe judgments, W-O-E. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. That's a temple in heaven. Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Okay, and then it describes a little bit more. Okay, so this is a 200 million man army. And I've written in a footnote that China has 200 million soldiers in the military. And it could or could not be them. I kind of doubt it is them, because if you stick with the Middle East area, and your River Euphrates is in the Middle East, the 200 million army would most likely be the Muslims that surround the nation of Israel. It would not be difficult for them to get that crowd together. Not at all. They've done it in the past. They would like to do it right now. They would like to wipe Israel off the map. One time somebody asked one of these Muslim types, you know, if you took all the land away from Israel and you gave them the beach of Israel, what would your desires to be? And he said, push them in the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, that's their feeling, okay? And the nation of Israel is completely and absolutely surrounded by Muslims that hate them royally. Now, has anybody ever been to Israel beside Brent and me? Anybody else been to Israel? Well, if you get the opportunity, make sure you pray about it. But if the Lord opens you the door to go, I would encourage you to go, but make sure you have your life insurance paid up. because you really can feel the oppression in that country. It's nothing that you'll ever experience. And we were there in 97 when it wasn't that bad. Going today would be a whopper of a thing. I mean, just walking around buildings, and all the buildings are block buildings, not wood or stick. I don't recall steel buildings, but they'd be block buildings, and you just see like it's been peppered with guns. See soldiers, often two guys just walking along carrying their automatic weapon. Which that didn't bother me. They don't bother me. It's the Muslims that bother me. And you could just not only see the tension, you could feel it in the air. When we were there, Bethlehem was still under Israeli territory, but now it's Muslim territory. And so it was starting to make that shift. And I tell you, there's a tension that you could just feel. When we were at the Wailing Wall in that area, anytime anybody just went berserk, you could have, you know, explosion at any time, anywhere, any place. Okay, if you can imagine, it's hard to imagine in our country, but if you can imagine our country that Crown Point is Arab territory, Lola's Israeli territory, down there in Shelby, that's Arab territory. And so when you'd go from Crown Point into Lowell, you get across into the check zone and everything. And then you cross over to get out, and you got to be checked. And if you're not in a tour group, you talk about massive being hassled. If you're in a tour group, they often kind of let those slide through because they know the tour guides are going to kind of watch things anyway. And plus, the almighty dollar is very effective. Okay, but it's kind of difficult to explain, but there's a tension like you'd never, ever experience. And that's what the Israelis have to put up with. Okay, and so these four angels, now what are the angels bound? What are they loosed? I don't know. The Bible talks about spiritual warfare, and you try to figure it out. And if you don't understand spiritual warfare, you are definitely going to be a victim of the warfare. You got to learn to recognize these things, and you got to learn to recognize that when you are under oppression or being attacked spiritually. If you don't learn how to do these, if you don't recognize these things, you would definitely become a victim of it. And people, Christians, think, well, I can't be affected by devils or demons. You've already been bit. Well, they can't bother me. Oh, they already have. They already got you in their bag. Because each and every one of us can be completely and absolutely influenced totally by these spirits. The example in nature, God often uses things in nature to explain Bible truths. And in the Bible, what portrays unclean spirits would be small winged creatures, flies, mosquitoes, unclean birds. Now, don't tell me you've never been bit by a mosquito. Don't tell me your house is so clean that you don't have any flies in your house. I mean, none whatsoever. I mean, if those things can be in and about you, then so can unclean spirits. Probably the best way to experience this is to get out in the street preach, pass out tracts, and you will see manifestations of them. Another place is go to Europe. Europe, it's quite prevalent, quite open there. Of course, America is behind Europe on that issue yet, but America is fast catching up, mainly because of Harry Potter and things like that. In Europe, in Austria, when you go to Austria, you look at the women in Austria, man, they look like they've just been beat up by the world. And Austria is very strong in witchcraft. And I don't know, I'll talk a little bit more about it if I get some more information from the girls just from what they've experienced this time around. Okay, but here are four angels. They're kind of bound. They're bound in some fashion where God is not allowing them to do their damage. But then he's going to loose them, and these beings, angels, fallen angels, good angels, who knows? I mean, either or, they can kill. One angel, back in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35 and 36, God had one angel through the nighttime kill 185,000 troops of the army of Sennacherib. One angel, one night. Now, there have been some military records that soldiers have experienced some very odd things on the battle zone. Some have mentioned that very large beings have helped or aided them. Some have mentioned that strange beings came in and captured troops and took them off. Okay, and the reason why that is because the Lord is a man of war, and plus the devil gets his jollies just out of killing more and more people. He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so verse 16. The army of horsemen were 200,000 and I heard the number of them. Okay, the north of Israel, you have Lebanon. You have Syria, you've got Turkey. Turkey has got multiple horses for cavalry. You've got the Soviet Union. But I would say you look at the Muslim nations more than anything. Back in 1922, I've mentioned this before, the Muslim Turks killed hundreds and thousands of Christians in a place called Smyrna. If you type in the persecution or the massacre of Smyrna in 1922, you can read the story where they just massacred hundreds and thousands of Christians, and American military ships stayed in the bay and did not intervene at all. Okay, and there are England ships in the bay and everything, and they basically had to sit there and watch everything take place in this city. And that's known history. Okay, so you got 200 million, verse 17, and it says, And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, when you read something like that, that appears to be more demonic. That there appears to be more than just modern military cavalry or anything. This is like the movies that they're putting out right now. I mean, they're not hiding it. It is all over the television, you know. And just watch the game tonight and you'll see it on the commercials. They're not hiding this stuff. Okay, and that's not just Hollywood. Okay, so these are really odd things. The heads of horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Brimstone, fire and brimstone, that's what we call sulfur or lava, and that is what hell is about. It's fire and brimstone. Sulfur will burn very hot. It will burn a blue flame like a cutting torch. Verse 18, by these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Okay, a third part of men, is that just males? Is that just in the Middle East area? Is that worldwide? Okay, the one over in Revelation chapter 6 appears to be worldwide. But you could limit it to Middle East if you want. This one here appears to be limited in the Middle East area because it's coming out of the river Euphrates. But still at that, can you imagine the death that's going on, the killing and everything? And this is revealing Jesus Christ. These people are deserving of these things because they have rejected Jesus Christ. Verse 19, it says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not at the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Okay, there's what goes on in devil worship right there in verse 21. And these, you know, this, here's what the Lord's doing. You know, you would think after getting beat up so bad like that, somebody would wake up. I mean, when things aren't going right, eventually you got to try to look up and think, okay, what am I doing wrong? But these people will not repent of worshiping devils. Verse 20, and then all their idols. Notice idolatry is right associated with devil worship. Okay, and so this is obviously, this is not just Satanism per se. Okay, this is going on worldwide where you have a worldwide witches coven, and drugs will be running full in the streets. Now, when I talk about drugs, I am not just talking about what are known to be illegal drugs. America is a drug-infested society. Probably half of the kids in public school are given legal drugs. Ritalin, Prozac. The two boys that shot them up at Columbine, the FDA came in, made sure of their medication, and made sure that it was published that they weren't taking their medication. They were taking their medication. Their medication influenced their body chemically to do exactly what they did. That is ingrained by the medication. The medication, like the one lady who killed her children, she had dreams of doing that from the medication that she was taking, the antidepressants. Those things, if you look at those things, look at the side effects. Read them. The side effects will often be suicide. And this is getting to be a big, big deal. I just, you know, was listening to a tape on this, and a lady who's really studied this thing out, she's been to many court cases, filed many cases against the FDA, and the drug companies have mega bucks buying people off who have had their loved ones die as a result of the medication, where it alters the body chemically. And so the FDA will buy these people off, settle out of court, put a gag order on these people where they cannot speak. One boy who survived the Columbine was shot 13 times and survived it. He is trying to travel the country now, you know, warning people about these medications. Europe has banned some of these medications as a result of the byproduct of them. America hasn't caught up yet. And what they will do is, okay, they'll find this one's bad, they'll just make another one just like it or stronger and then get it passed. Why? They're in control of it. These are the mega corporations. I'm not talking about marijuana and LSD. LSD is nothing but a previous prescription. You see, that's all that it is. The drugs usually on the streets are what they used to push in the doctor's office. You know, you get in demonic cultures, they will have, who's usually in control of the health or trying to help people during demonic, you know, in the jungles? It's a witch doctor, right? Do you think things have changed? Oh, they're not running around in a grass skirt, you know, with bones stuck out their nose, you know, at the major corporations. But don't you know devils are involved in these things? Praying about these things behind the scenes, trying to alter the human reaction towards things. Sorcery, that's one of the sins here that they will not repent of is sorceries. Sorcery is not just a Ouija board. That is also dealing with drugs. Drugs is a form of sorcery. Okay, and Americans, they got to take a drug to get up in the morning, take a drug to go to bed at night, take a drug to just to cope during the day. I mean, they're drug infested, whether it's legal or illegal. When you go out to Salt Lake City with the Mormons and everything, oh, they won't drink beer, but boy, are they on the pills. They're selling the pills right and left in Salt Lake City. And in that area, you have a very, very high suicide rate there. Why? Well, one is the medication they're on. And this is, you know, a person needs to understand. I mean, when I used to coach little kids, I'd get some little kids coming in. I know they're on some Prozac or something. And you can't even deal with the kid. He's just looking at you high as a kite. You know, fourth grader, fifth grader, and a kid can't even function because they got him. Oh, he's got attention deficit disorder. You know, where are they getting all this stuff? Look at the medication. Take it back further to the vaccines. You know, there was not a thing called autism in our country until vaccines came in play. Right. Study the vaccines. Find out. No, just don't accept something. The flu vaccine, or there's one vaccine, I forget what it was called, that 87% of the doctors that give this vaccine refuses to take it themselves. You know, it's funny. Several years ago, I knew somebody was going through some surgery or chemotherapy or something, you know, trying to treat some cancer trouble that they have, and the doctor did this, and the doctor did this, and the doctor wanted to do another thing, and I told him, I said, why don't you just ask the doctor? I said, pin him in a corner if it's necessary. And so he asked the doctor, and finally he said to the doc, if you were me, would you do it? At that point, the doctor said no. So he expects me to do something that he wouldn't do? You see, and I tell you, people in this country trust men so much. I mean, Patrick Henry said that suspicion is a virtue, not a vice. You know, you go to McDonald's. You see the nutrition value of their food. Do you buy into that? Do you think McDonald's cares about your nutrition? They're in it to make a buck. How can they make French fries taste the same all across the country? I know how they do it. It's through chemicals. It's certain chemicals that they will put in there to make it taste the same way all across this country. And, I mean, I don't care what it is, and I realize there's times that you do have to eventually trust people at some point. But it used to be in America that the average American grew most of their own food in their own property. People buy everything now. You ever go to these factories and see how this food is made? The rats. You ever see what they do with some of the food? You know that some of the food coloring that they put in some of this food is a little bug that's grown down south, and it gives them a nice color red. And I tell you, if we actually understood those $50 words on the ingredients, you wouldn't be eating what you're eating half the time. And what am I saying? I'm just saying the idea. The Bible said, "Cursed be men who put their trust in men." And we just got to understand that these major corporations are in it for the buck. If they can make more money, do you realize that it used to be, this has just been changed, that cattle feed, that 50% of the cattle feed in this country was dead cows? Cattle do not eat cattle. You see, and this is where the mad cow stuff is, all that's going on. And then there was one feed where half of the feed was manure. You see? I tell you, we're just not searching things out. If a man can grow your own food to do the best you can, you say, yeah, but that I know it's not going to make anything perfect. You say, but at least you know what's put in it. We don't know what's put in these foods, the sugar. Sugar's a drug. Sugar has absolutely no nutritional value, none whatsoever. And the sugar artificial sweeteners, that stuff is a chemical, and one of the causes of that chemical is Alzheimer's. And what is this all a part of? I believe it's all part of sorcery. Every bit of it. You see, and here's what's going on here. It says, they neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of the fornication, nor of the thefts. The four major sins of the devil worshipers in the tribulation, verse 20, will be those four major sins. Fornication. Fornication is involving pornography, bestiality, incest. I mean, these are what pagan gods do. If you doubt, just read them. Just read. Go to the library, look up, I don't know if this library has it, but the Rensselaer Library has it. It's got like a 21-volume section called Man, Myth, and Magic. And look up about the pagan gods. When I looked up Peter Pan, the god Pan, they call it Pandora's Box. And you read the poem they have about the god Pan, and if you read what it's saying, it talks about Pan chasing little nymphs in the woods. You say, what's a nymph? In the poem, or in the volume, if you go to another section, look up the word nymph, that is a girl. Now, why don't they just put little girl in the poem? It hides it. Who's going to look it up? And so here the god Pan, who's a man up here, a goat down here, playing his pan pipes, you know, and he's chasing little girls through the woods to rape them. And then there's a picture right here on a little plate, and it's got the god Pan, and it's got a little girl with a tear coming down her eye, looking at him with a gaze in his eyes, because he has conquered her. That is what pagan gods do. Okay, and this is the major difference between the God of the Bible and pagan gods, where pagan gods use their followers as a sacrifice, where God himself offered himself as the sacrifice. So you have murders, sorceries, fornication, thefts. Now, on this thing on fornication, I mean, if you just look at what's going on in the churches of America, let's look at the Catholic Church. I mean, it is admitted by their own people that the priests are probably 60% Sodomites. That's their admission. Now, if that's them having to admit something, how bad is it? They've paid over $1 billion to settle these cases going on in these churches. Now, that's the Catholic Church. What about the Protestants? They're not far behind. I mean, you could just run a 50-mile radius around here and it could tell you the stories about churches in this area. That's things like this have taken place. Why is this? The church is completely and absolutely under assault. And you see, this is part of the devil's work. And if this ain't something to show us we're getting closer and closer to coming to Christ, I don't know what is. But I know through history you find that this always has been taking place. Maybe not to the degree it is today. It's an amazing thing in verse 20 and 21, they would not repent. Here's what God is doing as a result of the tribulation and millennium. You have the vast majority of people on earth right now reject Jesus Christ. The vast majority do. Oh yeah, I know they're professing Christians, but the vast majority do. If you don't think that, go out on the street and see the reaction we get. The vast majority of people reject Jesus Christ. Okay, so the rapture takes place. Now earth is going to be as close to hell as possible without being hell. Called the tribulation time period. It's going to be so bad, the Lord is going to keep the clock off, the lights off for a while so people can hide at nighttime. And so earth is going to get as close to hell as possible without being hell. And the vast majority of people are going to reject Jesus Christ. So let's do an about face here. The Lord Jesus Christ comes back and it destroys the, with the battle of Armageddon, destroys the devil's crowd and throws the devil in hell. So he gets rid of the number one enemy, throws him in hell. He gets rid of the worldly influence because the world does influence us. It's hard for you and I to get away from that influence of the world. I mean, when you walk into a store, they've got the world's music being played. When you just go to a gas station, they've got the music being blared. If you go skiing up in northern Michigan, they got the music being blared. I mean, you're not going to get away from the world's influence. You turn on the telly, you've got them trying to tell you what to think. You pick up a newspaper, they're telling you what to think. The world is a constant influence on you and I, and you can't get away from it. And it's going to wear you down. So what the Lord does, he throws the number one arch enemy in hell, the devil, and then he takes the world's influence and he puts it under the control of believers in Jesus Christ. So he takes two of the three enemies out of the world system, the devil and the world. So who's going to run the world during the millennium? People who love Jesus Christ. No more. You can have a dry county. No more pornography. No more worldwide influence of rock music or heavy metal or anything you want to call it. No more worldly music. I mean, they're not going to be able to influence people anymore like that. So God takes away those two things. And at the end of the millennium, when the millennium will be as close to heaven as possible, without being in heaven, the vast majority of men is going to reject Jesus Christ. It's phenomenal. God is letting you and I know that your number one enemy is yourself. It's your flesh. They will not repent at that, verse 20 and 21. Okay, the seventh trumpet judgment is in chapter 11, starting in verse 14. So let's skip forward to that one. That way we can possibly complete these trumpet judgments. Chapter 11, verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Okay, so that is at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back, and all world kingdoms are going to be his. He is going to be in control now. He is going to be the monarch, the absolute ruler on earth. Notice how it's written, the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. His Christ. Why does he write that? It's because previous to this was another Christ. It'd be the Antichrist. Okay, then verse 16, and 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now notice the past tense there, hast reigned. So in verse 15, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of his Christ, beginning of the millennium. Verse 17, it says that has taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Past tense, he jumps 1,000 years to the end of the millennium. Okay, so the Bible will do that sometimes, where at a comma, a colon, or a conjunction, he will jump 1,000 or 2,000 years. You just got to watch the words. What happens at the end of the millennium, 1,000 years later? Verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Okay, that's Revelation 20, known as the White Throne Judgment. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That's White Throne Judgment. You see, born again people get their rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. They will be the ones with the rewards or awards, will rule with Christ during that 1,000-year time period. This is a different group of people. At the end, you have those who will be rewarded at the White Throne Judgment, and then the ones whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast in the Lake of Fire. But at the end, notice in verse 18 that there is going to be these nations who will be against Jesus Christ after watching him rule for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, if you would run there real quick, you can see it there. Okay, Revelation lays it out chronologically. 20. But the beginning of the millennium, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, 2, and 3, the dragon, the serpent, is thrown into the bottomless pit. That's in the heart of the earth right now. It's all sides, there's no bottom to it. Okay, so then they rule, and you'll notice how long is he thrown in there for? 1,000 years. Right in the middle of verse 3, it says 1,000 years. At the end of verse 2, 1,000 years. Middle of verse 3, 1,000 years. At the end of verse 4, 1,000 years. In the middle of verse 5, 1,000 years. End of verse 6, 1,000 years. And right at the beginning of verse 7, 1,000 years. I would assume after reading that sixth time that he means 1,000 years. But the scholars miss it. What happens at the end of the 1,000 years? And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You get that many people together to fight Jesus Christ. Notice the name, Gog and Magog. The nation of Israel just honored George Bush and called him the chief prince of Meshech. That's Gog and Magog. They think that's referring to the real Christ, but that's actually referring to the Antichrist. Okay, but then what's going to happen to them? Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, and devoured them. So they're going to get torched again. So here, after 1,000 years of the Lord Jesus Christ ruling the world justly and properly, there'll be such a multitude of people as the number of the sands of the seas, and they're going to be against Jesus Christ. It's phenomenal. Back in chapter 11, verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Okay, this is the temple that's in heaven. The one that was down here that he gave the plans first to Moses and then the plans to David, those were replicas of what actually is up in heaven. This is the one that's in heaven. Hebrews chapter 9 and 10 talks about the one that is in heaven. Okay, and so this is the temple of God that's in heaven, and there is the Ark of His Testament. In the Old Testament, it's called the Ark of the Covenant. The word covenant and testament are synonymous in the Bible. But notice as a result of that, you have lightnings, voices, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. In other words, there's more storms coming. Now, isn't it interesting what God is talking to this nation? One place you got a drought, one place you got water so much. All God has to do to get our attention is turn the spigot on or turn it off. It's all he's got to do. And so I would dare say the Lord is giving this country warnings, but I doubt it's going to pay attention to them. They're going to pawn it off as some natural catastrophe. Global warming's taking place. It's because you use hairspray. You know, Al Gore would be our hero to save us for the day. I mean, what a joke. Okay, so that's the seventh trumpet judgment in verse 11. Then we'll come back and hit 10 and go for from there. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us understand your words. Help us to be faithful to them. In Jesus' name, amen.